It's Thursday, February 26, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. You know, we are riding a growing wave of marijuana law reform in this country. Seems like I can't turn away from the internet for a minute without some new great story hitting the wires that just gives me much more hope that the end of adult marijuana prohibition is just around the corner. We'll be covering it in our hemp headlines, but just to let you know, I think I was one of the first people to cover this, and unfortunately, our site has been a Google News site, but I failed to set one particular technical setting that didn't allow Google's news crawlers to search our site. And unfortunately, I got beat to the scoop by Celeb Stoner. Well, not unfortunately. I'm glad that Steve got the story. I just wish I could have seen the stash up there. Anyway, it's been fixed, and you should start seeing daily audio stash stories appearing in your Google News searches any day now. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got our visit with cannabis correspondent Terry Joyce, who introduces us to an elderly couple, Rich and Joanne, who have been caught up in this drug war. It's a sad story, but they're good folks, and you'll enjoy hearing their story. And today's Rockin' Thursday, so we've got some great rock music coming to you from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. And in our second interview segment, Danny Danko, the senior cultivation editor from High Times Magazine, joins us to talk about what you need to be doing to get ready for the spring planting season. Also, don't forget to check out our activist agenda at stash.normal.org/agenda. Coming up this weekend in Tucson, Arizona is the Tucson Street Fair, and in Portland, Oregon, the Oregon Normal Cardholders Meeting. Check our calendar for more information. As well as a personal plug here, in the Portland, Oregon area, I'm going to be on the local Portland CW channel with a show called Outlook Portland, which will be on Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. Yeah, I know, it's awfully early. But I'll be on there debating the drug war against a sock puppet. That's right. They couldn't find anyone who would actually come on and debate me about the drug war, so I argued against a sock puppet. Might have been a bad idea. Maybe not. I guess we'll have to see. We're having a lot of fun on the Stash blog. Lots of new smileys. We also want to welcome Mr. Spoff from the Fresh Stash, who's going to be joining us on the front page from time to time with some well-researched and hyperlinked articles. So thank you so much, Mr. Spoff, for contributing to the community here at the Stash. And that's what it's all about. It's about community. It's about banding together. And it's about finally ending this adult marijuana prohibition. So let's get started. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal intestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Attorney General Eric Holder, ending medical marijuana raids, quote, now American policy, end quote. Speaking at a press conference with DEA Administrator Michelle Leonhardt, Attorney General Eric Holder declared that ending medical marijuana raids is, quote, now American policy, end quote.
Right after the inauguration, there were some raids on California medical marijuana dispensaries. Was that a deliberate decision by the Justice Department? Was that a prediction of policy going forward? Do you expect those sorts of raids to continue?
No.
The president said during the campaign.
Well, what the president said during the campaign, you'll be surprised to know, will be consistent with what we'll be doing here in law enforcement. He was my boss during the campaign. He is formally and technically and by law my boss now. And so what he said during the campaign is now American policy.
The question appears about 25 minutes into the press conference, which was devoted to an operation against the Mexican Sinaloa cartel. February 25th, 2009. Mark it as the day on your calendar when the beginning of the end of adult marijuana prohibition happened. With federal pressure off of California and other medical marijuana states, the acceptance of cannabis will grow like a weed. Former drug czar McCaffrey says, quote, if you're 40 years old and you're living in Oregon and you have 12 giant pot plants in the back of your log cabin, knock yourself out, end quote. Well, thank you, Mr. Retired General former drug czar Barry McCaffrey. I'm actually 41, and my home in Oregon is not made of log, but thanks nonetheless. From the Council on Foreign Relations, the President's Foreign Policy Inbox on U.S.-Mexico Relations. Speakers include Barry R. McCaffrey, President of B.R. McCaffrey Associates, and Shannon K. O'Neill, Douglas Dillon Fellow for Latin American Studies, Council on Foreign Relations, from February 23, 2009, presided by Scott Malcolmson of New York Times Magazine.
Hi, I'm General. Thanks for your excellent presentation today and for your long record of public service. My question is, I infer from what you say, shouldn't infer, it's probably obvious, that at the root of the corruption in Mexico, including the lack of law enforcement and the crime and violence, is the flood of drug money coming largely from the United States. Is there any change in U.S. drug policy that would dry up that profit?
That's another aspect of the earlier question, right?
I think so.
Can we get just one more here, please?
Ed Schumacher-Matos from Harvard. Same thing, but I just take it one step further. Why not just legalize drugs?
Yeah. Okay. The demand side issues.
You've got to let
go
me
first.
There's a 10-minute answer. There's an hour answer. There's a three-day answer. And fortunately, since I'm not in public life, I actually don't care. I care about sixth graders through 12th graders. And if you're 40 years old and you're living in Oregon and you have 12 giant pot plants in the back of your log cabin, knock yourself out.
Great, Barry. I'll tell that to my friend out here in Oregon who truly lives out in the boonies, not quite a log cabin. was a registered medical marijuana patient growing 12 or so big old pot plants out in her backyard. You sent your DEA agents to her backyard, ripped up those plants, held her at gunpoint, and terrorized her family. You harassed her and destroyed her property. To this day, a decade later, she suffers from PTSD and cannot come to the city because of severe agoraphobia. Glad to know that in private you just don't care, but in public you had to wreck her life. Study criticizes Bush Drug Office for its focus on youths and marijuana, not adult drug users. The White House office responsible for fighting illegal drug use has focused for nearly a decade on youth smoking marijuana instead of a broader strategy that would sufficiently target adult drug users, according to a new study. The nonprofit National Academy of Public Administration says the $1.2 million study, which it planned to release Thursday, found that the Office of National Drug Control Policy under President George W. Bush relied on selected data to show progress in combating illegal drug use by youth. The office did not highlight less positive results among adults or pursue a comprehensive anti-drug strategy across age and demographic groups, the report found. And with that California report I posted about how youth drug use is seriously underestimated by not counting misuse of cough syrup and prescription drugs, the Bush administration's focus on youth marijuana use at the expense of other drugs seems particularly wrongheaded. University of Georgia student newspaper opinion: better image key in marijuana debate. Because despite the fact that respectable figures such as Barack Obama and Michael Phelps are both one-time admirers of Mary Jane, they are not the ones advocating for the legalization of what seems to be a common and relatively harmless illegal drug. Instead, we have the university's chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws member who suggested meeting for a 3 p.m. interview last year at Dunkin' Donuts. This guy showed up blazed out of his mind, about to down a few donuts before heading off to a screening of the latest Harold and Kumar movie. And even though that image fits into my column better than the herb at a 311 concert, I didn't make any of it up. Not a bit. That's how he wanted to spread his message to the media. It's too bad, because I think they have research and sense on their side. They certainly slapped university officials in the face. The problem is that instead of the suit and tie many would expect from a group trying to reform a set of laws, we have Harold and Kumar go to the arch. We have a spokesman holding a news conference looking like he just rolled out of bed and can't wait to roll into a pile of his finest ganja. Sorry guys, but the laughs you got from people walking by are what you can expect to get from people in the Capitol. Your audience will remain a small group of fellow tokers. So go ahead and hit me with the conformist label. Tell me how I would have everyone on campus dressing like Frat-tastic Freddy and Sally the Soho. It's not true. I love color in my life. But you know who doesn't? Congress. And the second they see Weed Lovin' Willie in the Capitol with sporting red, green, and yellow, they're going to smile and walk away. It won't matter how many purple haze loving hippie signatures you have on your petition. So try a shave and a shower, maybe a blazed visit to the barber, and then pitch your message. Maybe you'll get somewhere. This really hurts me to have to report this story out of University of Georgia, because I was so excited about the SAFER campaign and highlighting, you know, the alcohol and the marijuana differences here. And especially when the name Normal is attached to something like this, where it gets a negative review. And I get a lot of pushback from some marijuana activists when I make this point, too. You know, I hear, you know, we shouldn't have to dress like the man, or they need to accept us for who we are. We don't need to be ashamed of our diversity. It's hypocritical to dress up like a corporatist when that's not what we are. We should be proud of our tie dyes and long hair and scruffy beards. Look, no one is telling you to not be who you are. We're just saying be the best you can be. For example, Vivian McPeak, the executive director of Seattle Hempfest, is one of the most articulate and well-informed advocates for cannabis law reform in the country. He also has back-length dreadlocks and facial hair. But when Viv shows up to represent to the mainstream, he's wearing a nice suit, and his dreads are tied back and neat, and his beard is trimmed and presentable. And for some occasions, he'll just defer to someone else more square-looking because he's self-aware enough to know that the mainstream media will frame him and unselfish enough to think of the mission over himself. Now, this does not mean I reject our heritage and culture. Far from it. I rock my tie-dye where appropriate, and I can be as silly a blazing stoner as anyone else. But I understand that when the beer industry lobbyists show up in Washington, they don't look like Larry the Cable Guy and act like Will Ferrell from Old School when they're chatting up the representatives.
So here's the deal. We've got this new president who seems really cool. I mean, the guy is well-spoken, he's open-minded, he seems to listen to people, and he's extremely well-educated. I mean, he graduated from Harvard Law School. But this is a guy who's admitted to smoking marijuana, that illegal leaf that just ruins people's lives. How could the president of the United States have ever done such a thing? Maybe because he knew it was less addictive than both alcohol and nicotine, and knew it can be consumed responsibly. But it's probably been a while since he smoked a joint. So if I had one thing to say to Barack Obama about cannabis, it would probably be something like, "Hey dude, I'm one of 80 million people in your country who has smoked marijuana, and so are you." Or maybe I would say over 700,000 people were arrested in this last year for marijuana-related charges. Or something like, "Let's re-examine this law altogether." Or possibly that $1.3 billion is spent annually fighting marijuana, not including the cost of prison management and construction. Or I might just end up saying, "Hey man, you know the facts. Let's fix this mess."
Weed.
That's Hoovy Valley, Hoovy Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce. All right, time to go back down to Southern California and speak with Terry Joyce. Hey, Terry, what's happening?
Oh, I'm just doing good. I'm excited about our guests that we have today.
Oh, yeah.
We just a cup of coffee. I saw in the news that how Kellogg dropped Michael Phelps. His endorsements. And today the stocks went down on Kellogg's.
Aha.
Which to me, that's all the stoners boycotting.
Saying, yeah.
I'm not going to have Kellogg's. I'm going to eat Lucky Charms.
Yeah, you would think that a company
tiger, you know.
You'd think that a company that makes Pop-Tarts would have thought twice about that, huh?
That's right. It would be the perfect endorsement. They could have opened their mind. Their sales would have went. They would have skyrocketed.
Exactly. Well, you know, California's a pretty happening place right now for marijuana law reform. We just reported yesterday on the press conference in San Francisco, north of you, about Tom Amiano, the assemblyman from San Francisco, proposing this bill for taxing and regulating marijuana. That's got to get you pretty excited.
That does get me excited. It's kind of like the joke that I've been saying, where I'm hoping one day I can go to 7-Eleven and order a pack of Northern Lights.
Yeah,
I have a dream.
Everybody has to dream about something, huh? All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of California and people that are down there working hard for this end of prohibition, that includes the people that are working in the medical marijuana side. And Terry often visits with these folks and brings them here to the stash to give us their perspective. And you've got a couple guests for us again today. And why don't you tell our listeners about who they are?
Yes, this is my guest is Richard McCabe and Joanne Cates. And they are an elderly couple who live in San Bernardino County. They are medical marijuana patients, and about a year ago, they were arrested for cultivation. And they have a big legal defense that I've done benefits for, and we're supporting and trying to raise money for them so that they can fight their case. San Bernardino County is really restrictive in their marijuana laws, and
they're still trying to fight them, aren't they? They're taking it to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So not all parts of California are quite as progressive as other areas.
Yeah.
This is my guest. My guests are Richard McCabe and Joanne Cates.
Well, excellent. Well, Rich, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Why don't you tell our listeners, give them a little background about yourself, how you got involved with medical marijuana and this arrest for cultivation?
Well, I've been growing marijuana for about 10 years medically for myself, my wife, and my brother. And at the time, we had a few more other patients that couldn't grow their own. And they came here one day looking for my son, and they came in, and soon they seen the pot, they just arrested us.
Oh, no.
In San Bernardino County, they don't care if you got one plant, 10 plants, or what. They arrest you and confiscate everything you have.
So the police weren't interested in your use at all. They were looking for your son and then happened to find your plants.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Just confiscated it all and arrested us.
Okay. So what kind of charges are you facing, and are they expecting to sentence you with any time for this?
Well, actually, we're going to court tomorrow to see if they're going to go forward with it. And if they are, we're going to have a preliminary hearing on March 2nd.
Mm. Okay, so you've got a legal defense fund that you've got set up through marijuananews.org. Tell people how they can help you out.
It's marijuananews.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a spot on there where you can donate, and the funding from that is going to our defense. They've hired some attorneys out of San Francisco that are representing us, and patients' advocates are also helping us. Get those attorneys.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, Terry, how long have you known Rich and Joanne?
I've known them for about a year, close to a year. It would be like maybe a year in May, not quite a year. I did a Hollyweed live show for them, shortly after I'd done the gay pride parade. And they came down and into West Hollywood and everything. Unfortunately, we didn't have, a very big audience that night. And so, we didn't really raise a whole lot of money, on that particular show, which, I wish I could have been more helpful. But I went out to, San Bernardino County, in their neck of the woods and also was part of a benefit that, Lanny Swerdlow, whom we have to have on the show.
Oh, yes.
Is an activist out in Riverside County and, was part of their show over there. And whatever I could do for them, I just want to support them because, if you were to see them, it's like having your grandparents being arrested.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. It's never right when anyone gets arrested for marijuana, but especially when we're talking about, folks that are using it for medical purposes, especially elderly folks. And, you got to think, what? You think this guy's a drug dealer? You think this guy's some sort of threat to society? Come on. Rich, let me get into the details of this just a little bit. Was it just one plant that they found, or how many plants did they find?
Oh, we don't know. They claim they found like 118, but
what
they do is if a plant has four stalks coming out of it, they cut all them stalks off and they count them as plants.
I see.
So you can't. It's kind of hard to fight them when they tell you you got too many when they up the number like that.
No kidding.
One plant and they make it five.
How about the size of the plants? Were some of these just like little seedlings?
Well, some of them were just clones. Yeah, there were seedlings just starting. Most, I'd say 50% of them were clones.
Okay.
That I was supplying to other patients and another collective.
Oh, so you're not just for yourself and your wife, but also for other patients and some collective use then?
Right. When I started going to these MAP meetings, they encouraged everybody to grow and help supply for other people that couldn't grow and stuff like that. So that's how we got involved.
Right, right. And this isn't
doing clones and stuff for other people.
And this isn't in any way any sort of money-making operation for you in any way, is it?
No,
not at all.
$15,000 in the hole right now.
Yeah.
And that only include my lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what always gives lie to these prosecutorial efforts. They always talk about, we don't go after the small scale, or we don't go after the medical user. We go after the kingpins, the big dealers. And Rich, you and Joanne do not sound like that at all. Now, is Joanne also available on the line?
People.
Is Joanne there as well?
Yes, she is.
Oh, let's speak with Joanne a little.
Okay.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Joanne. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Do you...
I'm nervous.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
tomorrow. You know, I'm starting to get a little nervous.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering: is what your feelings are with this impending trial. Tell our listeners.
I've never ever been in trouble before. Never ever been in jail or anything.
Yeah.
Until this happened, and I was 74 years old when it happened.
Wow.
So that's pretty scary.
You made it to 74 without even a parking ticket?
Yeah.
You're doing better than me.
I think I got two tickets in my life, you know, driving a car. One was for not stopping at a stop sign, and I think I got one speeding ticket.
Oh, boy. Well, you definitely sound like a big, bad, drug-using threat to society, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I really am. And you know what? I want to tell you what they did. I had a microwave here in a box. We were kind of doing some work in the kitchen, got a new microwave we was going to put above the stove, and I couldn't find my papers that day where I'd got it on the credit card. So they took it.
Oh.
I've never gotten it back, and I don't know if I'll ever get it back. And you know, everything's worn out on it now. I mean, the guarantees and all that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be any good if I ever do get it back.
So the police seized your microwave oven because it was ill-gotten proceeds of the drug trade or what?
I guess so. They just picked it up and left. It was still in the box and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was shook up so I couldn't find the paperwork, you know, and all that to prove it.
Oh.
And after I got the paperwork and took it back down there, then they wouldn't give it back to us.
Yeah. And how long ago was this initial arrest? It was years ago.
It'll be 2 years
yeah.
in August, so I don't know.
You know, this is what...
A little over a year now, you know, but it'll be 2 years if we don't go to court pretty soon.
Yeah, and this is what I always point out to people that are listening, especially, you know, first-time listeners or people that maybe aren't involved in marijuana at all. I always point out that, you know, it's not that marijuana users necessarily are going to prison, although some do. It's that this arrest can upheave your life for years. It can completely change your life, even if you're not convicted.
Right. You have to keep going back to court, and every time you get a little nervous, you know, and like I said, they take your stuff, and they're just legal thieves, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, legal thieves. That's a good way to put it. Well, I want to encourage everyone to visit marijuananews.org and look for the link to support Rich McCabe and Joanne Cates and donate to their legal defense, because these are good people, and there's no, you know, they're medical users trying to help other medical users. It's legal in California. San Bernardino County needs to get the memo. Thank you, Joanne, for speaking to us. And let's go back to Terry for a moment. Terry, is there anything coming up in the future as future benefits or any other ways to help out Rich and Joanne?
Well, we are doing there is going to be a fundraiser. I guess it's pending on the court case tomorrow, whether or not they're going to drop it or go forward. But what was it, Rich, you were talking about? Maybe it was it in March you were talking about having a fundraiser?
We have one for March 22nd, but we're not sure of the entertainment yet. It might go to, like, the first part of April, the first week of April.
Okay.
But we're trying to do it the end of March.
Okay. When you guys get that ready, let me know. We'll definitely broadcast that here on the Daily Audio Stash and get as much support for you.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, as much as we can. And just to wrap things up here, Terry, as we're okay, hold on just a moment. Got to pause. All right, Terry, you always bring us great folks. And once again, Rich and Joanne are no exception. We want to help them out as much as we can. And Terry, we also want to help you out. What's happening for you coming up here in the near future?
Well, what's really exciting right now is I've been working on a show called The Free Speech Show, which I've been doing for ComedyNation.com. It's just recently been sold to Strike TV, which is a website that was for shows that was developed by the people who are from Comedy Central.
Oh.
And they do the the Daily Show with Jon Stewart and the Stephen Colbert Report.
Oh, great.
So we have our free speech show now on Strike TV, and last night I just did my first show for that. So that should be online very soon.
And what's the website?
The matter was the digital age.
Oh, okay.
What are our thoughts on the digital age?
And what's the website for that Strike TV?
It would be strike.tv.
Oh, strike.tv. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's right. I hope I'm saying that right.
Well, we'll look it up before we post it.
Okay, thanks.
Well, Terry Joyce is our Southern California correspondent, letting us know what's happening in the epicenter of 420 reform down there in California. And Terry, thanks a lot for bringing Rich and Joanne with you. And Rich and Joanne, thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. For Rockin' Thursday, we bring you Memories by Seminole County. After years of successful tours and gigs, including a tour of Europe, performing at the Grammy Awards Showcase, and a tour of Asia in 2008, the band is now working on solo projects. JJ of Seminole County has taken the next step as Winter Springs, one of the most promising artists I've heard in ages, being a common response from the worldwide media after listening to her music. In 2008, Winter Springs won Global Marijuana Music Awards Best Hemp Song. Winter Springs is a fountain of music, an outstanding songwriter and performer with a huge variety of new collaborative opportunities. Keep updated about Winter Springs at winterspringsmusic.com and Seminole County at myspace.com/Seminole County Space. Rock on with this classic song. It's Memories by Seminole County.
Love me. everything I wanna say.
Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana, and over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Well, we're rapidly approaching springtime here in the Northern Hemisphere, and anyone who's interested in growing their own job, we're going to talk to Danny Danko, the High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, who has some great tips for the upcoming spring. And Danny, welcome back to the Stash.
Thanks, Russ.
So, yeah, like I said, you know, springtime's coming here, and you are the Senior Cultivation Editor, so I thought we ought to talk to you a little bit about what people need to be looking forward to if they're interested in beginning their garden. And you had some interesting ideas about this as far as, you know, comparing this to previous bad times we've had in this country and how something like a victory garden could help people out. So why don't you give our listeners a kind of the idea you're talking about here?
Well, basically, in tough times, it seems like Americans always sort of turn back to the earth, for their sustenance.
Yeah.
and that sort of thing, you know, whether it be storing goods through the winter or victory gardens, you know, during World War II, kind of reducing the stress, you know, on the soldiers and the chow lines and stuff. So basically, the idea is to plant a tray of seeds right now. Now is the time to start popping seeds. Put them on your windowsill, you know, like a sunny windowsill, and, get those plants going and, share them with friends. If you don't have the space to put a plant, you know, just grow it out, and someone will always take it if they have, you know, a nook in their backyard or some kind of deck or some place where no one's going to see it for the few months that it's got to grow out. It seems like a lot of people do have that space, and now is the time, I would say, to pop those seeds and get started.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of problems with this oncoming recession and people being laid off their jobs. And, you know, when you lose your job, you a lot of times lose your health care insurance as well. And what better way to help your fellow Americans out than by growing some medicine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole idea is also to sort of discourage profiteering. We want to treat this plant like any other, you know, vegetable or herb that you grow and then you share. You know, you put it in your garden, mix it with your vegetables and your flowers and your, you know, herbs, basil and all of that. And, when the harvest time comes, you know, everybody's sharing all their bounty with their friends. And that sort of idea, I think, sort of, you know, will maybe lower the price of the commodity itself to a level where it's not outrageous.
Yeah, I would hope so. And unlike zucchini, this is the kind of thing you can't grow too much of and your friends will always be glad to take.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, the right around November, that's the time when, you know, everyone seems happy.
Yeah, certainly. Now, you know, speaking of growing marijuana, you guys are coming out pretty soon with your Cannabis Cup issue. And, of course, that's out there in Amsterdam where some of the finest cannabis is sampled and grown. What's your take on the Cannabis Cup this year, and what do people have looked forward in this issue?
Well, basically, this year, what's interesting, at the Cannabis Cup, we honored Peter Tosh, the reggae musician, and his son Andrew Tosh was there. We had Kaimani Marley, son of Bob Marley, and Sensi Love Whaler, who's the daughter of Bunny Whaler. So we had the offspring of the original three, you know, Whalers.
Yeah.
And so the music was incredible.
I'll bet.
Also, Steel Pulse performed in the Cannabis Cup band, which was just, I mean, they must have performed 10 shows over the 5 days while we were there, with a rotating cast of singers, including Bushman and Rocker T, and, you know, just an incredible Leon, Ross Leon, who was in the movie The Bobsled, Jamaican Bobsled.
Oh, right, right. Cool Runnings, Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings, yeah. And, yeah, basically it was incredible. A lot of people from all over, Japan, Europe, Spain, basically, you know, people, it was very international cup, and very much a reggae vibe to it. And the pot and the hash this year were, I guess it's probably my sixth cup, I think, and definitely the coffee shop weed and the seed company weed and the hash were all top-notch this year.
Hmm. When you compare the Cannabis Cup to, you know, other events that you go to in, you know, maybe the States, do you find a great deal of difference in the quality and differentiation of strains internationally, or does America, how does America stack up, you know, as far as the world cannabis goes?
Well, I don't think anyone really competes with Northern California and the Pacific Northwest. I mean, the amount of years that they've been you know, breeding plants and choosing the best ones and that sort of thing, just, you know, generations ahead of most other places that I've visited. I think that, you know, you can't get away with poor quality there like you can in some other places. So I would say, you know, different places have their own kind of regional flavors, too. Mm-hmm. If you go to, you know, the Pacific Northwest, they're really into the fruity indicas and stuff. But, you know, further south in California, it turns to Kush and, you know, Perps and stuff. So, I don't know. I think it's regionally very interesting, especially now. Spain is quite interesting because they're just, they're growing out a lot of feminized seed and really experimenting with long season sativas and stuff. So, Spain's definitely an interesting new kind of place on the pot map.
Yeah, I definitely want to investigate that sometime, and I understand that there's some other places in Europe other than the Netherlands that are starting to develop their own sort of cannabis culture, and yeah, I'd like to learn more about that, that's for sure. I wonder about the difference you mentioned between the California buds and the Pacific Northwest buds, if it has anything to do with being trapped under a layer of clouds for 6 months of the year.
Well, yeah, I mean, the truth is that the further north you go, the shorter your season, so you're going to want plants that flower faster, and you're going to want plants that resist mold and resist you know, the powdery mildew and things that you get in a foggier climate.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned at the beginning of our talk here about this idea of the Victory Garden and planting a seed now, getting it out on your windowsill. A lot of people, you know, that are first-time growers, they're really, really, you know, intimidated by the idea of starting a marijuana plant, that they'll somehow do something wrong and waste all that time and effort and that risk of getting busted, perhaps, to get no yield. What sort of tips can you give the first-time grower to calm them down and make them feel like they can do this? And what basic mistakes do people make that maybe they should know about?
Well, I guess it really depends on indoor and outdoor. But since we're talking about the spring and people doing the outdoor thing, I mean, the key is to have a space that no one is going to see for, you know, several months through the summer while this plant gets larger and larger. So you start the seeds now in a tray. You pick the most vigorous ones, and you got to transplant them pretty quickly once they pop into a larger container, and you got to ensure that they get a certain amount of sunshine every day. I would say more than 4 to 5 hours of continuous sun, and then maybe some shade, but the more sun the better. And you know, keep them watered and stuff. As far as the security, I mean, if you know, the idea really is to just grow a few plants and have them grow very big. So the larger the root mass, the larger the plant. So if you go with a big container, you know, like a big Rubbermaid tub or something, and you're just growing one plant, I think you're a lot better off that way than growing, you know, a field of 20 or 30 plants that are much smaller, because the count is just one plant. You can pretty easily, you know, convince someone that that's for your own personal use, because it is.
Yeah, good point there.
And I don't think that the, you know, depending obviously on what state you're doing this in, the penalties for growing one plant in most places aren't usually that severe.
Is there a possibility that when people have these on their windowsill, they'll, you know, overwater them, or, you know, they shouldn't give them certain, you know, commercial fertilizers or anything like that? Anything's, you know, where people, you know, I think if they're amateur gardeners, they might get some ideas from, you know, say TV or watching, infomercials or something that might work for some other plant, but would be terrible for marijuana.
Well, you know, there's plenty of little, you know, hydroponic units and stuff that you can buy that take care of the watering for you. But the more, if you can grow a house plant, you can grow a pot plant. You know,
okay.
I mean, it's not, it basically, you know, overwatering and underwatering, all those things can be monitored pretty easily and pretty cheaply. And, you know, the idea is also get yourself a book or a DVD or a High Times magazine or something, you know. You got to do some research on the plant before you get started, but the information's all out there. And you know, the Jorge Cervantes, our columnist, the reason all this stuff is happening in Europe, every country where he translates his book into their language, you know, a marijuana culture pops up there.
Hmm.
You know, he translated into Polish. There's 60 million people living in Poland that are, you know, now the information is there in their language, on how to, you know, start the seeds, how to grow the plants, what to feed them, you know, when to harvest, all that information in their own language. So times are changing, and this plant is really, you know, basically overgrowing the, you know, the government and all of these efforts to, you know, keep it down.
Yeah, as Jeff Goldblum said in the that dinosaur movie Jurassic Park, life will find a way, and it looks like it has. Well,
yeah.
Danny, you mentioned the Cannabis Cup issues coming out. Is that out on the stands right now, or is that?
That is on newsstands now, absolutely. We've got interviews in there with Kinky Friedman, Joe Rogan, Eddie Bravo, the rapper Devin the Dude. We've got a bunch of grow information, how to clone plants. We've got all that Cannabis Cup stuff with the music and the pot and the hash. So it's pretty pretty packed with good pot stuff.
All right. So High Times Magazine on your newsstands, or check out hightimes.com for more information. Danny Danko is the High Times Senior Cultivation Editor and joins us from time to time here on The Stash. Anything else you want to say before we wrap things up, Danny?
Just get those seeds popped and get growing.
All right. Thanks a lot, Danny Danko. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder to check out the Normal Activist Alerts through the map that we have at stash.normal.org. This takes you directly to our CapWiz page, which will help you on how to write letters and contact your elected officials. It's really simple. All you got to do is plug in your zip code. And for those of you who are fighting this battle to end adult marijuana prohibition, a reminder to keep your chin up. It's a long, drawn-out process, and there's so many of these committee hearings and readings and votes and re-votes and vetoes. It can get awfully frustrating. But remember, prohibition took time to enact. It's going to take some time to get rid of it. Thanks for joining us here for the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until that time, take care of each other, tokers.